don't know the one who dreams of you at night and longs to kiss your lips and longs to hold you tight. Oh, I'm just a friend, that's all I've ever been, 'cause you don't know me.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen, and you can get my newsletter by going to bruceallen.com and signing up where it says Stay in the Loop, and you'll get a weekly newsletter and no spam and nothing else. It is time for the Women's Room with Dr. Jennifer Weberman. Dr. Weberman is a psychologist and parent coach with over a decade of experience helping children, teens, and parents empower themselves in positive ways. She has been affectionately referred to as the Super Nanny of Springfield, as she has helped hundreds of families restore peace to their homes. Dr. Weberman now shares everything she has learned on theparentingplayground.com. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Weberman.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So I'm going to start off by telling you that I think everything you do is wonderful. You get 100 different awards, and I'm giving you an A-plus before you've even spoken.
Thank God, because I can't handle constructive criticism.
Good. Okay. So now that we've got that out of the way, and now that you've already gotten your A for just showing up.
Well, I am Generation Y, so that would be very fitting.
Good, good. I really, really would love your perspective on this very issue from your perspective as a therapist.
Well, I do see a lot of it in my practice. I think, you know, before I say that, Generation Y is described as being very entitled, lazy, and thin-skinned. It's the everyone gets a trophy generation. Mm-hmm. We never want anyone to feel bad. And I think there's a little bit of an exaggeration, and I know there's a lot of prominent examples of those same qualities in the older previous generations. We just have to look at how we've treated our environment and the housing bubble that collapsed and all of that to see it. But I do recognize that there is a definite trend. I just don't think it can even compare to the level that children who were born around the turn of this century and the helicopter parenting that's going on now, it's taking it to another level. The level
well,
of involvement.
It's been institutionalized is what I think.
You think it's institutionalized?
No, I mean it's there's all these rules on what you can and can't do, and all these in businesses there's human resources and diversity training, and you can't talk to people without like worrying about exactly the right words, and then all the things that teachers are, you know, allowed to do and not do. I think it is institutionalized, and I think it's a part of our culture, and I think it's unhealthy.
I think that looking at how we got here is really important to finding a solution. Because if we don't understand how we got here, we're never going to be able to correct our course. And I have no empirical data to support the ideas that I'm going to express. They're just the observations that I've made personally from my practice. But there's three things that I notice that are different now than in previous generations that I think have an influence on this helicopter parenting and this overmanagement of children. One is that we now have the science to measure everything that children do and collect normative data to compare with. Your children are older now, but children now parents are getting feedback on their child's head circumference, on their developmental milestones. You have to be this many months when you walk, when you crawl, when you speak, their IQ, how you hold a crayon, if they're doing it correctly or incorrectly. And if a child strays from the normative data, there's a service for that. There's a professional that can come and teach and tutor and coach. And I think we've developed this mindset of problem identification and fixing.
I couldn't agree more. And I just have a little anecdote before you go on to number two and three. When my son, who's now 19, was a baby, I joined a Mommy and Me class because I was a very active parent. There were no Daddy and Me. So I went to a Mommy and Me class and was taught in Santa Monica, California, where it's a very new age type of environment. And I remember all of the parents, all the moms and me and the leader, at one point were talking about, you know, when is my child going to speak? When is my child going to walk? And things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the leader had just such wisdom. She said basically, listen, trust me, by the time they get to kindergarten, every one of your kids will be walking, talking, and toilet trained. So stop worrying about it happening at month 10, 12, 14, or whatever.
I think that's a beautiful sentiment.
Such great wisdom. Anyway, go on to number two and three, please.
It's so important to be able to distinguish the kids who just need more time to catch up and the children who are actually having an issue, a true developmental delay that needs services. So absolutely. The second is that we have so much information readily available to us through technology that everything that could harm your child, we have statistics for, you know, everything scary that can happen, everything wonderful that every other child is doing that your child is not, you're exposed to. Pinterest, don't even get me started on what that does to moms. You know, all of these art projects that they should be doing, but you're a terrible parent because you're not doing it. If I read about playground head injuries, child abductions, and a seven-year-old who started his own nonprofit, I would think that the world is a dangerous place my child needs to be protected from, and clearly my seven-year-old is lazy and unmotivated since he hasn't done anything entrepreneurial. And then I hover and control and hover and control. And I think the technology piece is really has been in some ways a detriment to many parents.
Wow, this is such an important thing that you're saying. I want to be quiet and just and give you more time to just elaborate. Tell me how it's shown up in your practice.
In my practice, I have parents who bring in reports written by professionals for their 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old, where the very details of their development have been outlined, and the pressure that's now being felt by the parent to now correct and get their child back on track. And so what they do is they use a lot of control or coercion or pressure to do so, when really sometimes these children just need a little bit more time and space. Kids will get to where they need to get to in their own time at their own pace.
Do you believe that our kids are being over-medicated?
Absolutely. And that doesn't take away from the children who truly do require and benefit from medication. But I think oftentimes parents don't know the right person to go to find out. I really believe, and I want to take the opportunity to say, that a neuropsychological evaluation is the best way to find out if your child truly has ADHD and if medication is necessary. And that's after you try behavioral techniques first.
Very, very interesting.
Getting a diagnosis from your pediatrician because you filled out a Connors rating scale that asks you, does your child have trouble focusing? Yes. Do they have trouble sitting still? Yes. Oh, you have ADHD. Here's some medication, is not the way to go.
Okay. I want you to repeat that, please.
A neuropsychological evaluation is the best way to find out if your child truly has ADHD. And after behavioral interventions are attempted and don't work, medication can be considered.
Fabulous.
Through a
fabulous
psychiatrist and not a typical pediatrician or general practitioner.
Yeah. I think given the way our healthcare system works, too many of these pediatricians are spread too thin, and it's just so easy just to lump a kid in a category.
Yes.
And I think that's you've just validated that thinking. Sadly, we're out of time, Dr. Weberman, so please do tell our listeners where they can find you to get more of your wisdom, and I hope we'll see you at Dad Chat tonight, too.
You will always see me at Dad Chat for sure, and the blog is theparentingplayground.com. We are also on Facebook under the same name, and on Twitter, I am Dr., spelled Dr., underscore Weberman.
And we are working on a book, aren't we?
We are working on a book.
Okay,
definitely
going to
need a few more months on that
an
project.
Update
but
on its progress.
It's coming along. I'm very proud of it.
Good, good. I can't wait. Thank you so much, Dr. Weberman. We will be back with some closing remarks by me, and stay tuned.
Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between.